Well, it's good to be here. I think I'm on. Be here with you all to open up God's Word with you. This morning, I would like us to look at a topic entitled Trials and Temptations. Now, before I begin, I need to tell you what my daughter Esther discovered. You know, a couple of weeks ago, I told Esther what I was going to be speaking on, and well, what did she do? She went searching the chapel website to see all my messages that I, not very many of them, but there are some on there, and she said, oh, you talked on that, and so I thought, oh, I can't talk on that, but I decided this is a message. I decided not to look at my old notes. I don't know where they are anyways. And I didn't listen to the message, and I thought, well, this can be maybe a two-part series over a five-year span. So I'm not sure when that message was, but Esther said there was one out there on this topic. So let's open up in a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can come in your presence because of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for him, our Savior, who died for us and rose again. Thank you that you've given us your Holy Spirit to teach us things of your word. And we pray this morning that you would challenge each of us to learn something that you want to speak to our hearts about on this topic that your word speaks on. Father, we just ask your blessing to each one here. In the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, amen. So I would like us to look at the scriptures and answer four different questions about temptation. Now, when we're talking about temptation, I want us to think in terms of both trials and temptation, not just temptation. Trials are linked with temptation because both are a test. They're a test to see how we are going to respond. Now, are we going to rely on God and his strength in the midst of a test, or are we going to go it alone, do it alone on our own strength? Are we going to rely on Almighty God, or are we going to rely on our own weak, puny little selves? So the four questions are this. Number one, why am I tempted or tried? Number two, why or what should I resist? Number three, how can I do it? And four, I failed. Now what? So I almost hate to tell you this because maybe you may experience this after hearing this message, but as I was preparing this message, or at least trying to prepare, I was put to the test in many different ways. I experienced both victory and I experienced defeat, failure, sometimes during the same test. And I will give you one example. During a really busy time in the past couple weeks, the sewer in our home got clogged. Ooh, fun. It turns out there were tree roots in our sewer drains. And having raw sewage start to ooze out of the basement drain is a scary sight. It was for me. And I must admit my anxiety level went very high. And I was failing the test. Then the Lord woke me up and reminded me that he exists. And I called out to him in my trouble. And what does the scripture say? It says, call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee and thou shalt glorify me. It's amazing how the Lord can calm our hearts down even as we see raw sewage coming out of the floor. And it's so now for question number one, why am I tempted? And to answer this first question, let's turn to James chapter 1. James chapter 1, and we're going to look at verses 2 and 3. James chapter 1, verses 2 and 3. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. but let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. So why do we have trials? As a test of faith to produce what? Patience. And what does patience do for us? What does it do for us? It says, let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. What does that mean? Does that mean sinless perfection? Well, I don't think so. No, it doesn't. But what it means is that God is producing in us the ability to stand in the midst of any and every trial or temptation. You know, God wants to use every believer in Jesus Christ as a demonstration that his power is made perfect in what? In weakness. In weakness. He wants to show that no matter what his children go through, no matter what we go through, his grace is sufficient. His grace is sufficient. Do you believe that? Do we believe that? That his grace is sufficient? You know, God is working in us patience so that we can prove that God can bring us through anything. You may think that the things that you are going through in life are meaningless. Maybe your job or the ordinary things that you do during the day, they seem meaningless, and guess what? You're right. They probably are meaningless from the human perspective, you know, when we look at it from our human point of view. But what about from God's perspective? Are they meaningless? No, they are tests from the Lord. If you haven't learned patience in your boring and difficult circumstances of life, the Lord wants to work this in you and I so that we can demonstrate that he is sufficient to hold us up, to hold us up in any and every circumstance. Paul says, I have learned to be content in all circumstances. This is something that must be learned. We are weak people. It doesn't come natural for us to be patient. James goes on, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given him. You know, wisdom is not merely knowledge about God's word. It's not just knowledge in our head, but knowledge that is experience, that is something that we actually live out. We experience in the midst of whatever we're going through. You know, as the raw sewage was oozing out of my floor drain, kind of like that old indigestion commercial. Do you remember that one? Indigestion. It just kind of kept coming in and out. Well, I was looking at my floor, and that sewage was coming in and out, and I was starting to panic in secret. I didn't want anyone to know what this was happening in my household. We were on the way to Esther's musical. She was in that musical Annie, and I didn't want to deal with it at that time, so I didn't deal with it right at that time. I had to learn to just go through it, and I went to the musical, and there the kids were singing The Hard Knock Life, and I just was thinking, you don't even know. When you get home, you could be raw sewage. That's. But anyways, the Lord was with me and blessed me through that experience, and he taught me to trust him for help. And he calmed my heart, and showed me that his grace was sufficient to handle that problem in his timing. Didn't go away right away. Now, if everything in life went perfect in here, in this life, we would be in heaven, wouldn't we? But we're here in time. Now is the time of testing in this life. Now is the time for us to walk by faith in the midst of our trials and our temptations. You know, why else are we tempted? Because we are weak sinners. We're weak sinners. We have a sin nature that is prone to trust in self, prone to trust in self instead of God. And we all have sinned and fall short of his glory. We sung this morning, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. You know, God is patient with us waiting for us weak sinners to learn to trust him, to trust him in the midst of trials, to trust him in the midst of temptations. You know, those of you who are doing the reading through the Bible in a year, this past week we read through Numbers 33. Do you remember reading that? Did you notice how the Lord led his people to the promised land? Did God take them from point A to point B? Did he? No. He led them through the wilderness for 40 years. Why? So that his people would learn to trust him. Do you know that it is the easiest thing for God to deliver his people out of trouble and conflict? Let me repeat that. It is the easiest thing for God to deliver his people out of trouble and conflict. What is the hardest thing? The hardest thing is to get us to trust him. That's the hard thing. But he is patient. You know, he was patient with Israel for 40 years, and he is patient with you, and he's patient with me. Okay, so we've talked about why we are tempted. Now the second question. Why should I resist temptation or endure trials? To answer this, let's turn over to 1 Corinthians 6:19. 1 Corinthians 6:19 and 20. You know, in a verse discussing fleeing temptation, Paul says in verse 19 and 20, he says, "Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you were bought at a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." Then later in chapter 7, at the end of verse 22, it says, "He who is called while free is Christ's slave." He actually calls us a slave of Christ. Do we really realize that we are not our own? Do we realize that we who are believers have been bought with a price? You know, if you are here and unsure of where you're going to spend eternity, I just want to take a few moments. Maybe there's someone here who doubts where they're going. Well, the Lord Jesus Christ, in eternity past, he's always been God, fully God. And at a point in time, God the Father sent his Son, our Lord Jesus, and Jesus became a man, just like you and I, except there was something different. You know, we all have something in common in this room. We all are sinners. But the Lord Jesus was the sinless one. He had a body like ours, and yet he was without sin. And Jesus led the perfect life that you and I were not able to live. You know, God is holy, and he can't just close his eyes to sin. You know, if he closed his eyes to sin and didn't judge it, he wouldn't be God. He would be compromising his very own character. So God couldn't just overlook it, but he found a way to be both just and holy, and yet at the same time, he's love. And so God so loved the world that he gave. He gave his only begotten Son. And Jesus led that perfect life. He fulfilled everything that we couldn't do, and Jesus went to the cross. And when Jesus was on that cross, he died for all of our sins, all of the nasty things that we've ever done. The Father laid all of our judgment on the Son, and that is love. Someone who loved us, even though we don't deserve it, he loved us unto death. Jesus died on the cross for our sins. He was buried, and he rose again, and he offers the gift, a gift to us. Instead of punishment, he offers us a way out. Instead of having fear of the lake of fire after we die, he offers us eternal life. And what a wonderful Savior we have in Jesus, someone who bought us with a price. And but he gives this, he offers this us to us as a gift, but only those who receive him. It says, "To as many as received him," that's Jesus, "to them he gives the right to become the children of God." He doesn't give it to people who are religious, maybe who think that they're saved through maybe getting baptized or going to Lord's Supper. Well, how does he save us? He does the work. And it's a beautiful thing that our Savior did for us. And when we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, we have eternal life. And so if you believe on him, what do you have? You have everlasting life. If you are here as a believer, don't ever forget that you have been bought with a price. Bought with a price. Once you become a believer, there's no going back. Did you know that you can't go back? I've done that, tried that. It's not very enjoyable. For whom the Lord loves, he disciplines. Discipline sometimes can hurt. You know, I am convinced that the most miserable person in the world is a person, a believer, who is walking out of fellowship with the Lord. That's the most miserable person in the world. We have to live in this world, but we, as believers, are our own worst enemy when we choose to live of this world. You know, we are not our own. We have been purchased with a big price. We need to remember this during trials and temptations. You know, we have only a short time in our life here on earth to walk by faith, and then we will be face to face with our Lord Jesus Christ. We will have no more sorrow, no more tears, no more pain, no more suffering. Isn't that a nice thought? We will not be tempted in these bodies that have the sin nature, because our bodies will be transformed to a resurrection body someday, which will be free from the weakness of the sin nature. I can't wait for that day. Can you? Isn't it a wonderful thought to not have to go through any more temptations or trials? That's a beautiful thought. That day is coming, but now is our time to walk by what? By faith. You know, think of our life, of your life, as a little drop of water. Just think about it for a moment. How big is a little drop? Very small. Now think of eternity as all the oceans of the world. What does that little drop compare to the oceans? Not very significant, is it? There's no comparison. And yet, you and I forget that our citizenship is not down here in this little drop of time, but in heaven. We often place too much emphasis on making our life down here comfortable in this little drop, that we forget that we are not our own and that we have been bought with a price. You know, living our lives in light of eternity has eternal significance. But if you and I find ourselves thinking thoughts like this, if I can only make it through this week, then I will have the weekend. Have you ever thought that? I have. I think we all have. If we start finding ourselves thinking like that, we are starting to lose sight of the eternal value of every circumstance that we go through. You know, our life is Christ. Our life is Christ. Death to self, alive in Christ. That's what we need to remember. Paul says it this way: "Indeed, I count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ." And rubbish is sometimes translated dung. So the best things that we have in life, what does Paul consider them? He considers them as rubbish, as dung. When we think of it that way, it's kind of hard to get offended by people. If the best that we have, all that we have is like rubbish or dung. Can we be so easily angered? Can we be so easily offended? Can we put so much value in the things, the worldly things that we are involved in? We have to live in this world, but we have to remember we're not of it. We need to ask God, "Lord, maybe I don't like what I'm going through. In fact, I hate what I'm going through, Lord. Can you help me to honor you in the midst of it? Can you help me to trust you in the midst of my trial or my temptation? Lord, I know you can deliver me from this trial or temptation. Can you help me right now? I need you, Lord." Don't ever forget, Jesus loves to help weak people. His power is made perfect in weakness. The Lord wants to help us in our weakness. He's not looking for super Christians that are so spiritual that nothing tempts them or gets them down. Those type of people are often self-deceived. You know, God wants to strengthen us when we recognize our need, that we're helpless, that we need Him. He doesn't look for big scholarly words. If we say, Lord, help, that's sufficient for God. He even accepts a silent thought towards Him. Maybe you feel so low down that you can't even pray. I remember being down in that state in my Christian walk. Before the Lord brought me here to the chapel, I went through a time of walking away from the Lord, and as the Lord was drawing me back, I had a difficult time praying and reading His Word. I remember just lifting up thoughts towards God of wanting to be close to Him. I was burdened down with so much feelings of worthlessness, with feelings of guilt. I remember the thing that ministered to me for a time. The only thing was a radio program in the middle of the night. It was on VCY. It was called Music Till Dawn. I think it was with Vic Eliason. And I don't know how that program helped me so much. I don't listen to it anymore. I'm sleeping at night. But I never listened to it again, but I know that the Lord used it for me at that time in my life to help me to be restored into fellowship and eventually get back into His Word, get back into prayer. So, why should I resist temptation? Why? Why should I trust in the Lord in the midst of trial? Because I have been bought with a price. In fact, we are a new creation in Christ Jesus, the Scripture tells us. Okay, now for the third question. How can I do it? How can I resist temptation? How can I trust in the Lord in the midst of trial? Well, we've just mentioned that we have been made a new creation. You know, even though we are still living in these bodies of death with a sin nature, we have been given new life in Jesus. We have been born again and given a new nature. Turn with me to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. What a beautiful thing is our new nature cannot sin. And yet we have our old nature, don't we? Galatians chapter 5, starting at verse 16. Galatians 5, 16. Walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. You and I, as believers in Jesus Christ, have two natures at war within us. We have the old nature that we inherited from Adam. We all have that, don't we? And we have the new nature that is from the Lord Jesus Christ, that nature that cannot sin. From the moment that we become a believer to the moment that we are with the Lord, either through death or the rapture, we are in a spiritual battlefield in our soul. You know, the new nature does not sin, and the old nature only knows how to sin or to be religious. How do we win this battle? Well, it's not a one-time battle. It's a daily, moment-by-moment battle. I have news for you. It's not over until the Lord calls us home. Now, the question is, are you and I going to walk by the Spirit or walk by the flesh? That's the question. We have this constant test through our Christian life. We have this test actually every moment, don't we? Even in the boring, mundane things of life that seem meaningless, God wants us to trust Him and walk by the Spirit even through those times. It's not always about doing great things for God. It's about allowing our great, almighty, all-powerful God to work in and through us. It's about being available to him. Paul says in Colossians 2, as you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. How did we receive him? By what? By faith. So then how are we to walk? By faith. We only need to get saved once from the penalty of sin. We don't get saved over and over again. We get delivered from eternal punishment in the lake of fire one time through faith in Jesus Christ as our Savior. But after we are saved, we are given a repeated similar test of faith moment by moment until we are called home. We are tested to trust him in the midst of trials and in the midst of temptations. Like Job, who said, though he slay me, yet I will trust him. That's faith. Like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Do you remember them before the flames? They faced the flames of fire and said, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us from your hand, O king. But if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the gold image which you have set up. You know, our God is able to deliver us, but even if he doesn't, take away our trial, take away our pain, take away our sorrow until we are with him, will we still trust in him? Will we trust him until he takes us home? Can we trust him during this little drop of time? Can we do it? We have a whole ocean of eternity to walk by sight, free from testing and temptation. What about now? What about today? Can you and I trust him? Can we die to self? Can we allow Christ to live his life through us? You know, we have this privilege in time, not in eternity, and we need to redeem the time and not waste it. When God says that no temptation has overtaken you, except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. When God says that, do we believe it? Do we believe it? Are we looking and praying for that way of escape with confidence because we know he's going to give it to us? Or do we sometimes give in? Do we give in? His will and his word are what we need. You know, God has chosen you and I to represent him in whatever we're going through. Will we honor him by trusting in him, even though that makes us feel out of control? This past Wednesday night at our Bible study in Colossians, Joel talked on Colossians 3. And I'd like us to just read those verses. It's one of my favorite verses in the scripture. Colossians 3, verses 1 to 4. And this is how we resist temptation and trust God in the midst of trial. Colossians 3, starting at verse 1. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Aren't those beautiful verses? I never get tired of reading those. We have a new identity in Christ Jesus. A new identity. We died with him and we have been buried with him. And here in these verses it says we have been raised with Christ. We have to remember this. We died and our life is hidden with Christ in God. But now, right now, the resurrection life of Jesus Christ is there for us to strengthen us in our weakness. And yet we often choose to settle for our own limited weak strength. When Lazarus came out of the tomb, do you remember that? When he came out of the tomb after Jesus raised him from the dead, do you remember the order Jesus gave What did he say? He said, "Loose him and let him go." You know, Lazarus was wrapped with a cloth. You know, he was wrapped with grave clothes. He couldn't enjoy being resurrected by Jesus Christ with those grave clothes on. Jesus ordered, "Loose him and let him go." You know, Jesus has the same desire for us. We share in his resurrection. Paul says, "I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection." But we share in that resurrection. It's new life. The strength of living the Christian life is in death to self and living in the strength of our almighty, resurrected Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You know, we don't need to live with grave clothes on. If we see a fellow believer who is burdened by their sin, what does the scripture say? It says, "We who are spiritual should restore the brother gently." We should help them get loosed from their grave clothes so that they can once again enjoy that resurrected life of Jesus Christ that they are called to. Are you here today? Are you here today and feel like Lazarus? Maybe you do. Walking around with grave clothes on. Maybe it's difficult for you to move forward today. I've been there. I've done that. I think we all have. Well, I want you to know that you are free in Christ Jesus. You are accepted in the Beloved. You are complete in Jesus Christ. Isn't that a wonderful thought, to be complete in Jesus Christ? So just keep setting your mind on things above. Christ is our life. We need to look to him for strength in all situations, in all temptations. There is no temptation that hath o'ertaken you but that which is common to man. And he provides a way of escape. And Jesus, he was tempted in all points. I think a brother shared that this morning at the breaking of bread. And yet he was without sin. He can sympathize with us. He knows what we're going through. When Christ our life appears, we will appear with him in glory. But now, today, is the time to trust him in that little drop of time. The little drop of time that you and I live in. Now for one more last question. And we've already kind of touched on this. I have failed God, now what? We've all done this. That's why we need a Savior. In 1 John 2, we read, "My little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the whole world." You know, God knows that we are all weak. He doesn't want us to sin. He hates sin. And yet he knows that we are weak and that we have a sin nature, and so he has made provision for us when we fail to trust him in the midst of our trial, in the midst of our temptation. He is our advocate. He forgives us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You know, God doesn't want us to sin, but he has made us a way to recover when we do. We need to be believers who are quick to respond to the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. When he's showing you and me our sin, we need to be quick to confess, quick to look to him, quick to avail ourselves of his mercy and his grace. When he shows us that we sin, that we have grieved him, we should not try to hide from God. Remember what Adam and Eve did? They hid. We shouldn't try to hide from God or make it up to him. We need to confess our sin and then move on. Even if those around us choose to remember, and even though Satan, you know, the accuser of the brethren, day and night before our God, even if that happens, we need to remember that God, who knows all things, chooses to remember our sins no more. You know, God knows that we've sinned. It's not that he's got a lobotomy. He knows. But why? What does he do? He chooses to remember our sins no more. Because, why does he do this? Because they have been paid in full by his son, Jesus Christ. For God to remember our sins and hold them against us would be to tell his son that his work was not complete. Yes, God knows our past sins, but he chooses not to remember them. He chooses not to hold them against us. And that is, my fellow believers, that is true freedom. That is freedom. That's the kind of God you and I have the privilege to love and to serve. So, in conclusion to our four questions, why are we tempted? Well, we're tempted because we are sinners, right? We're weak, sinners who need to prove that God's grace is sufficient for us. And why should I resist temptation? Why should I endure trials? Well, because I am not my own. I have been bought. We have been bought with a price. How can I do it? Well, living in the strength of our resurrected Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who helps the strong? No, he helps the helpless. And finally, how do I recover from my sin? By being quick to confess my sin before a holy God, not hiding from him, by trusting in my Savior, Jesus Christ, to strengthen me to move on in his strength. Let's close in a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are a big God that can handle any trial that we find ourselves in. You can handle any temptation that we find ourselves in. Lord, help us in those moments of weakness, Lord, when we feel weak. Help us to look to you, to cry out to you. This week, Lord, whatever comes our way, we pray that we would trust you, that we would live in your resurrected power that you have given us. Christ rose from the dead. We have newness of life, and we can walk in it. And we thank you for giving us the Holy Spirit that shows us our sin when we fall short and helping us to be restored, to be walking in fellowship with you. Father, we pray for anyone here that does not know you, Lord Jesus. We pray that today would be the salvation, their day of salvation, that they would put their trust in Jesus Christ, your Son, as their Lord and Savior. And we ask these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.